Today, I want to talk to you about the power of imagination and visualization. I want to start out when I was just a little boy living in a travel trailer. You know, my dad was a cop when I was about 4 years old. In fact, he took me to work one day when he was four, and he thought everybody was waving at him, and they were waving at him because I was in the back seat, and he didn't know it, but I had grabbed his revolver, and I was flourishing the weapon. How many can picture me doing that? Well, he quit that job, and he bought a travel trailer, and he put me and my little brother in it, my mom in it, and then I went to homeschool. The cool part about that was I graduated top of my class, but I was the only kid in my class, so there you have it. And while we were living in this thing, we had no money. There were oftentimes, thank God, many of the winter months we spent in Florida that we would eat out of the orange groves, technically stealing oranges to eat. The churches that he would work for and preach for, they didn't have any money, and he wasn't the greatest preacher yet, and he just got these little small meetings, and he was trying to do the best he could. And we're living in this travel trailer, and like, I don't know if you've ever been in one of these like RVs, but there oftentimes your kitchen table folds down and it becomes a bed. Well, that was my bed at night. It became lunch. It became my school. Everything was done there. After the third day in this one particular town of not having anything to eat, true story, my dad says at the end of the night after we had church, did anybody give you guys anything? No. So he sits down at the table with all of us and he says, God bless this food that we're about to eat. I'll never forget it as a little boy thinking there's no food here. I'm watching my dad pray over this. And he said, okay, boys, eat right now. Close your eyes. Picture this, a bologna sandwich, cheese, mustard, mayonnaise, whatever you want on it. And he began to fake chew. And now that I think about it, I mean, if we're pretending, how many of y'all think we should at least have some steak or something? I mean, you know, why? What's that with this? But sometimes the way you think is the way you live. It becomes a reality. Some people watching right now might be living in a poverty mentality. You might already be blessed, but you're still buying canned goods that are dented and no label on them because that's the way you grew up. That's the way I grew up. Going to the day-old bakery, y'all don't even know anything about this, but there's a place you can go and buy bread that's squished and it's a little old and you can get it cheaper. This is the way we grew up. Now, fast forward 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I mean, life is fine. My dad pastored a church of a couple hundred people over in Fenton, Missouri, and it's fine. And he kind of imposed his own view of life on me. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it'll always be. Try to hold it together. And you know, 10 years ago, I was okay with that. Then 9 years ago, I decided there has to be more. God, I can't just continue to preach to these 200 people forever. My sermons are, I feel like they're burning a hole in me, and there's people that need to hear what I have to say. And so what I did was, through the power of imagination, I got the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I cut out the TV guide, and I put it on my refrigerator because I knew that I'd go there a lot. How many like me and you go there a lot? Raise your hand. Some of y'all too chubby to raise your hand. I know you go there. And I circled it. Would you believe that a year after visualizing, imagining, calling things that be not as though they were, believing that they would come, that ABC called us? Yeah, they did. ABC St. Louis called and said, hey, we heard about your church, and somebody said that you have some television cameras, and we're looking to sell this time slot. Joel Osteen is going off the air in St. Louis, and he's going on ABC Family. Would you like to have his time slot? And before I could even think, I said, yes. And I was like, oh, what did I say? Because I'd already been there in my mind. By the way, that's how affairs happen. You go there in your mind first, and then it happens. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. Through the power of visualization, now I go on television, and I don't ask for money, and I preach to people instead of at people, and I bring them encouragement and help. And 9 years ago, the church exploded. And this week, it was reported in Outreach Magazine around the world that the 80th largest church in all of America, and still the fastest growing, is Faith Church. How did that happen? What? Are you kidding me? Who? You can't do that. You need to be in Dallas to do that. You got to be in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. You got to be in North Carolina, but not in St. Louis. Everybody knows everyone's Catholic and Lutheran. That's the way you were born. We know that. Subsequently, the church became 70% Catholic and Lutheran. And then there's those Pentecostals in there. Those are the people that are doing this. And then that's why we dim the lights, because then there's those Baptists trying to slide up those hands. You know what I'm saying? It became this diverse picture that I first saw internally. If you can change what's on the inside, you can change what's on the outside. I'm talking about a science right now. about an art, about a technique. And it'll work for anybody. The Bible says, a man thinketh, so is he. Your life is not limited by your boundaries. And then you're just doing life, and then you get pretty excited when it grew up and you didn't even know what happened. How many of y'all have kids and you didn't really notice that they got big, but somebody came over and they're like, oh my gosh, they've grown, looking like a wee. But you were too close to it in proximity, so you didn't realize what was happening around you. This week at our church in Florida, some of you watching Palm Beach and go to our church in Florida, and we were just at the church getting ready to preach that night, and we got a call from St. Louis. Nicole would kill me if she knew I was going to show this to you, but she got so excited when she heard that we came from nothing and we changed a lot of lives. And so I just grabbed my iPhone. How many of y'all got an iPhone or something like that? And so I just began to record it. Don't tell her, but this is what she did on Thursday when she found out. Check this out.
Yo, no, don't make me miss this moment. I'm trying to get this. Are you videotaping me? I'm freaking out. We're the 80th biggest church in America. We have never made the 100 biggest churches in America. The list ever, and we are the 80th biggest church in America. And I'm like, Trent, I'm like, before this, like, totally, just, what is this normal she organic moment? Stop, I have to capture this on video because one day I'm going to forget. Oh my gosh, look at what we have done. Look at this, yes. Look at what our team, wow, that's in my tooth. Look at what our team has done.
It is crazy, you know. We're in the top 100. 80th biggest church in America. We're in Florida.
We're number 80!
80!
Nobody told us! We're number 80!
In our 10th year. Let's slam it.
Come on, give it up for somebody getting excited. See, what that represents to us is tens of thousands of life. 186,000 people, they say, in the last 7 days have watched our television program, and a large quantity of them have called for a free DVD. And we never asked for money, and we have sent that DVD, and we've changed a lot of lives. Come on, give God a hand. What happened here is gonna happen there. You have to see it, and then you can be it. This is best illustrated in Genesis chapter 30, verse 26. It says, give me my wives and my children, and I've served you. Let me go. Everybody shout, let me go. And Laban said, please stay, for I've learned by experience that God has blessed me because of your sake. Name your wages, and I will give it. The Amplified says, state your salary. How many love to go to work on Monday and say, hey, I'm leaving, and they're like, oh, please stay, state your salary. Raise your hand if that's you, raise your hand. And if you work here at the church, shame on you. You should not have done that. He became so anointed, so valuable, and the organization grew so much that Laban, the trickster, his uncle, remember, this is the guy who said, if you serve for 7 years, I'll give you my daughter, Rachel. And then at the last moment, he switched it and he had to marry the ugly one. Don't you hate it when that happens? Then he served for another 7 years and got the one he wanted. 14-year term here. But while he was doing that, Laban's herds began to multiply and he became blessed, and so much so he realized that it was because of the anointing that was on Jacob. Let me tell you something, the favor of God is on you and up on you, and if you allow God to begin to speak to your heart, you can dream the impossible dream and become who God calls you to be, and it starts with the power of imagination and visualization. Now, Laban says, okay, what do you want? So then he says, okay, give me all the spotted animals, all your spotted goats, all your spotted cows. He said, okay, I can do that. While Laban was sleeping that night, he took him on a 3-day journey. He couldn't find them. He woke up the next morning and the system had switched. They raised the bar. Anybody ever been promised something but you were lied to completely? You feel disappointed? You feel like it's over? I mean, every time you go there, they change the deal. They raise the taxes. The situation got a little further out. You're never going to hit it. This is where Jacob is at. But Jacob does something incredible. He actually has a God idea. He actually goes down in verse 38, and it says, he took rods and he peeled them, and while the animals were watering, they would conceive. He goes down at the end of the day, and the cows are there and the sheep are there, and he breaks off these branches, and through the power of visualization, remember me with ABC, I want to change people's lives. He begins to maneuver those until he can see spots on cows that don't have spots. He can see it on sheep that do not have spots. And his staff comes around and says, what in the world are you doing? Have you lost your mind? He says, shut up, I'm working on something. Remember Einstein said, the power of imagination is better than education, because what you can imagine, you can produce. The chair you're sitting on was an idea. The building you're in right now was an idea. The television screen you're watching was an idea that someone had internally, and then it manifested itself externally when the person began to receive and maneuver in what they first conceived. We know this from Hebrews 11. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not revealed to the five physical senses. 10 years ago, I couldn't see a church where thousands of people could be saved or set free. I didn't see us on television around the world, but I do now. I didn't know we'd go on to buy the biggest bar in the state of Missouri, and all the heathens that used to get drunk there that got saved watching television knew exactly where to find their home. I didn't know that, but it was a brilliant idea. I didn't know God would give us 13,001 Gravois Road, 37-acre campus and make it look beautiful and thousands of people's lives would be changed. I didn't know that God would give us a new church in Weldon Springs, but he did. I didn't know he'd give us a church in Florida, but he did. I didn't have the education for it. I didn't have the qualifications for it, but I had this doggoneness enough to say, I'm going to do what God called me to do, and there's a certain group of people that are going to hear my voice, and I'm going to maneuver out there and do what he said. Not based on what my dad said, because my dad said we couldn't do it. My family tree had problems. Anybody like me, you shake the family tree and a lot of nuts fall out? And here Jacob is. Jacob says, man, I'm sitting here conceiving something in my spirit. Now verse 41 says, and it came to pass whenever the stronger Lachsav conceived, he placed the rods before them. But when the feeble were there, he didn't put it in front of them. I want you to conceive this for a second. He got so blessed. And the sheep and the goats and the cows begin to produce so much that he got selective in what he would do. Now, don't hold the rods in front of those. That's bad confirmation. That's disease. No, no, no. We only produce the best. Now, I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. A guy told me this 10 years ago. He's a brilliant guy. In fact, he's so smart. He bought $500,000 worth of gold when it was $200. And so now it's about $2,000 an ounce. How many know that's pretty smart? This guy's brilliant. He told me these words. Are you ready? Opportunity shies away from need. Opportunity shies away from need. What Jacob was doing when he went into Laban was not saying, oh, will you please keep me here? I need a job. He said, I have something to tell you. Before I got here, this organization wasn't running well. Before I got here, the blessing and the empowerment wasn't on me. But now while I'm here, and Laban says, say no more, state your salary. Opportunity shies away from needs. I see young ladies do it all the time at church. 20 years old, got two kids, their husband left them, and now they're saying it's over. Will you date me? Would you be my baby mama? No, you're going the wrong way, guy. You're going the wrong way, girl. You need to come in with a smile on your face, with your head in the air saying, I might give you an opportunity to take me out to eat. I might give you an opportunity to raise my kid because, come on, somebody ought to help me. Opportunity shies away from need. God said, I know the plans I have for you, but they're for good and not for evil. He said, I'm able, Ephesians 3:20, to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask, think, or imagine. You have to see it to be it. He got selective in what he'd take. Be selective about the jobs. Now, my son will tell you here today. This, by the way, come here, I want to show this. He was 7 years old when his mama gave me an opportunity to take her out on a date. She told me, you don't have any children, but you have the ability to be the father of the 7-year-old boy. And I thought about it, and I thought, wait a minute. You tell me right now that I never have to go through the terrible twos, I never have to change a diaper, that he's old enough to wash my car and take out the trash? By God, I'll take this kid. And I did the right thing, because 24 years now, come on, give it up for a pastor. Don't tell me God's not going to bring you a good man. Don't tell me God's not going to bring you a good job. Somebody ought to help me preach in this Presbyterian church today. Don't tell me God's not going to do it, because he did it for me, and he's going to do it for you. You picture yourself with Denzel, by God, and you'll have Denzel. You picture yourself with Brad Pitt, and stop dating armpit, because God has called you, appointed you, and qualified you. You got to see it to be it. Is that a good looking man right there or what? Oh, you know what? I want to get it in. Come here, Morgan. Both of y'all run up here. You can keep that on there. Now see, here in a few days, this boy right here raised in the house of God, this little girl right here was raised in Louisiana by a pastor named Mr. Duran. You might have seen Des Duran, one of the winners of The Voice. That was her little boyfriend when they were growing up at church. But God knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that someday Austin would need a good-looking, intelligent, highly favored woman that had been raised in the house of God. So then God calls her to St. Louis, and she's the producer of Tiger TV at LSU, and she also is the anchor woman. She walks away from all of it when she saw the hard body on this young man. and she gave up that. Come on, somebody ought to help me. She said, I feel God calling me to St. Louis. And then here I stand. What if I hadn't taken the opportunity to raise a 7-year-old boy? I wouldn't have this today. Now I got two preachers beside me helping me do what I'm called to do. Don't tell me God can't use blended families. Don't tell me God can't turn this situation. Somebody ought to, you're not as rowdy as I am today. Somebody ought to get excited about dreaming and seeing spots on your cows. See spots on your marriage. See spots on your church. You are called to change the world, and by God, you just need to do it, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. You're called. I can do it. Shout, I can see it. Come on, shout it again. I can see it. Little man named Sam in Rogers, Arkansas, had a dream to start a little company called Walmart, and he did it. I went through a service station not long ago on the East Coast, and it was owned by an old man who said, I don't know if I'll ever have a lot of money. And he lived in the back of his gas station. Then he decided to start frying chicken in the back of it. His name is Colonel Sanders. You might have heard of him. The Secret Recipe. These guys are old when they got started. But the enemy and the enemy will tell you, because you had the setback, because the Laban system ripped you off, you will never have the opportunity to live your dream. And I'm telling you, it is not based on who likes you and who does not like you. It's not based on your education or lack of education. It's not based on your race or your color. It is based on God, who has graced you and favored you and called you and appointed you. Somebody ought to help me to do this. And that's why I'm speaking to you right now. You might be watching in St. Louis. You might be watching in West Palm, Del Rey. Get to church on Thursday night where I preach. Get to church on Sunday morning. Because if I'm speaking to you right now, it's because God's trying to take you to the next level and teach you how to visualize your dream life, your preferred future. And it's not dependent upon the government, thank God. And it's not dependent on the president, thank God. And it's not dependent on Congress. Get quiet. Y'all like, oh, you gonna go on politics? It wouldn't matter. Because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our Father is the King of Kings, and he has now placed us in this kingdom, and he wants us to be thinking extreme, big, grand. Not poverty, not fake baloney. By the way, we were so poor our baloney didn't have a first name. Just generic baloney. Now check this out. This is exciting. Verse 43. Thus this man Jacob became, not overnight, became, denoting time, exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks. He became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks. I often say that the size of your organization is greatly determined by your tolerance for pain. People say, oh, I wish I had a big church. No, you don't. Here's the problem with a big church. It's all about people, right? You change people's lives. Here's the problem with changing people's lives. They're people. And people are cray-cray. And they like you 1 minute and they don't like you. You should wear jeans. You should wear a suit. You dress up. I don't think you should wear white after Labor Day. I got a note about that. I don't care. I thought it looked good. I wanted to wear it, and I wore it. Sometimes I wear camouflage pants. You can't even see me up here, but that's okay. I'm being me because nobody can be a better me than me, and I'm really good at being me, and if I try to be somebody else, I can't be them, so I got to be me. And there are people who hear me, and they're motivated by me, and their lives are changed by me, not because of me, because of God picked me and said, he's going to be a testimony to people because he's been divorced, financial setback, betrayed by his family. People look at me and they go, by God, if God could use him, he could use me. I'm not half as screwed up as he is. That's why God picked me. He chose the foolish things in the Bible to confound the wise. So he became, check it out, he became exceedingly prosperous and he had large flocks. Well, let me tell you a secret right now. 9 years ago, 10 years ago we started, right? 9 years ago, it took me a year to figure out what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it. 9 years ago, I read this scripture. He had large flocks. I thought, why preach to 200 people when you can preach to 400? Why preach to 400 people when you can preach to 800? Why preach to 800 when you can preach to 1,600? Why preach to 1,000 when you can preach to 2,000? And why have a church of 5,000 when you have a church of 10,000? I had to continue to conceive it in my spirit. And then, here's a key point. I had to actually train my mind on that next level so I could identify it when it showed up. See, if you're not ready for the breakthrough, when it comes, you'll be like, oh, it's too big. I had to increase my weight systematically, the power of lifting, stretching my mind. My mind stretched never goes back to its original size. And as I stretched my mind, I stretched my capacity, and I could see myself doing it. Now here's the problem with doing this. I could hear the voices of the boos at the church. By the way, the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. And they always have something to say. I don't think we ought to buy Earth City. You're not going to be able to hug me in the hallway and pamper my baby and kiss me in the mouth. I just don't know what I'd do without that. And then I had to kind of run and gun, right? And you're preaching this one and that one. And I had to say, I got to silence what they say to hear what he said, so I can help all of them instead of continuing to help this one person. Because if there's one or two people making a lot of noise, you'll tend to think that the whole world is negative towards your idea. And sometimes those people are people that you really love. You have to turn and silence the voice of the enemy and the enemy and even some people you love to ultimately do what the one who loves you, come on somebody, wants you to do. Then you can see the power of your future. Now, looking back at it, then it's really hard. You might be there right now, really hard. How many of y'all, God is stretching you even during my sermon? Raise your hand if you're like, yeah, this is hitting me. Here's what's cool. This last week, I was sitting down, and I was having breakfast with my wife and our campus pastor in Palm Beach. And we were over in Palm Beach, this little breakfast place. And I watched this woman walk past, and she saw Nicole. And you can always tell when they know you. Double take. I sit there, and then I had to go in to the restroom. As I went into this restroom, this woman was paying her bill. And she said, excuse me, who is that lady you're with? I said, that's my wife. She's trying to play dumb just a little bit, you know. Then all of a sudden, she almost breaks out in tears, and she said, I started watching her on television. I didn't realize that she didn't know me, but yet she could speak directly to me. How is it that somebody didn't know me, but they could speak directly into my life? And I said, it's God. Then I told her, I said, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go out there and tell her what you just told me, because she was just telling me, I'm not good enough. Nobody wants to hear me. They want to hear you. Sometimes people even get up and walk out when I hit the stage because they don't like women preachers. I'm here to tell you that we believe in women preachers, and so did Jesus, because the first woman was a woman preacher when Jesus came off the cross. Come on, somebody ought to tell you this. And if you want it done right, you ought to have a woman do it. And I'm here to also tell the guys that women are better drivers. A woman can drive down the road, talk on the phone, shift gears, put on lipstick, and slap a kid. You can't do that, sir. You can't do it. So that little girl, Nicole, who just found out those exciting words and news, was still beat down. Because deep inside, there's a lot of inferiority, in fear. Fear, the acronym, false evidence appearing real. Why would she be insecure? Because she was beat down and left and betrayed by her dad, who didn't sign the birth certificate. Because she grew up extremely poor, because those problems led to other problems, and then she ends up having a son out of wedlock. You just saw him, and I'm so glad for high school prom that happened. God will turn around the bad things and make it for your good. Somebody ought to shout amen. You don't see up here Austin saying, I'm an accident. He wasn't an accident. He's here on divine purpose and a divine call, and he is anointed and appointed to do this job. He's not your real son. Come here, let me slap you. Just stand up and let me slap you. He's my son more so than any blood could ever be. We're in covenant together. And this covenant that God made with you and Abraham, Jesus, he wants to fulfill it today. You're called. You're anointed. You got to engage the power of imagination. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, and everybody watching on television. We open up.